Welcome to the latest podcast by the National Institute of Economic and Social Research. My name is Freya, and I'm joined today by five guests for this special International Women's Day podcast episode. So since 1975, International Women's Day has marked a call to action for accelerating women's equality, and it's a day for celebrating the achievements of women worldwide. And with that said, I'm delighted to introduce you to the five women sat at this table with me. As we go around, perhaps each of you could share very briefly a bit about your particular research interests and work. So first of all, I'd love to introduce NISA postdoctoral research associate Dr. Margarida Moraes.
Thank you, Freya, and hello everyone. I work on innovation, regional development and productivity.
Wonderful, thank you. And principal economist Dr. Larissa Marioni.
Hi Freya, thank you for having us. My current research focuses on skills mismatch and productivity.
Fantastic. And then economist Patricia Sanchez.
Hi Freya. In my case, I work in macroeconomic and modeling, especially with our in-house modeling item.
Great. NISA assistant economist Robin Smith.
Hi everyone. So my main role in NISA is the regional and distribution modeling.
Wonderful. And last but not least, Kingston University Professor Michaela Vecchi.
Hi, Freya, and thank you very much for inviting me back at NISA. This is where my academic career started because it was my first job after finishing my PhD. And my main area of research is on skills, skill bias, technical change, technology, and recently looking at the economic impact of dance.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you all for making the time to share your insights and your experience with us today. So we'll jump straight in. Last month, the five of you attended an event hosted by the Women in Economics Network. And I know that you heard from a number of panelists there in the profession, and you had some great discussions about improving diversity and inclusion in economics. And after the event, I had a chat with you all about some of the challenges and the barriers facing women in the profession. And one of the things that stood out to me was the fact that you were saying that there just aren't enough women in economics, particularly at the higher levels. So to start with, I thought we could just address sort of why is that? Maybe some of you could help us to unpack that problem a bit and some of the particular barriers and challenges that are causing it. So I don't know, Margarida, would you be happy to kick us off on that?
Yes. So I'll be speaking from an academic perspective, and a recent report by the Royal Economic Society showed that while female representation in academic economics in the UK has improved steadily over the past decade, this happened much faster at junior and mid-seniority positions than at the top. And actually among professors, the ratio is less than 1 to 5, which is about half of that at entry level. And even though female underrepresentation in economics is similar to that in STEM disciplines, for example, economics does the worst in terms of erosion in female participation up the ladder. And so it does seem like we have an issue in keeping women in academic economics towards later stages of the career. And there's also evidence that women are more represented in teaching tracks, which have a lot fewer positions at the top and also tend to be paid at lower levels, which also contributes to the gender pay gap. In terms of higher education, female representation has not changed over the past decade in either undergraduate or graduate levels. And women make up a third of places in undergraduate and PhD programs. And actually at the master's level, there is an equal split.
And why do you think that might be? Why is it that that happens?
So it's positive to see that some change has been achieved over the past decade, but there are still a lot of barriers to women, particularly those wanting to proceed to higher career levels. Speaking from a PhD and early career perspective, I think the precarious nature of work at early career stages can impact women disproportionately, in particular because it often coincides with family formation years. So in addition to the precarious nature of work, you know, the low stipends and low wages and fixed term contracts and so on that happen at early career positions, this is quite prejudicial for women, since even when they hit their first sort of more permanent position, there is still this race between the biological clock and the tenure clock. And so, you know, even though this is the case across other academic disciplines, it does seem that economics is slightly more greedy, and the male culture probably also contributes negatively towards this.
Thank you. And Larissa, do you have kind of anything to add there in terms of those barriers, I guess, from the academic side of things that Margarida was talking about and also onwards?
Yeah, sure. So I think one of the major barriers lies in these implicit biases that can persist throughout the academic journey. So that goes from undergraduate studies to senior positions. And these biases, they can manifest in several ways. So, for example, underestimating the potential of female students, undervaluing their research contributions, or providing them with fewer mentorship opportunities compared to their male colleagues. Another issue we face is the lack of female roles, especially in economics when men hold most of the senior positions. Seeing this gender disparity can discourage women from pursuing economics or even aiming for leadership roles. So it's important to recognize as well that these obstacles, they are often linked. So for example, implicit bias can lead to fewer female mentors, contributing to the lack of role models, and then consequently perpetuating the cycle of underrepresentation.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And as you say, kind of those, that role that having female role models plays is so important. Is that something that, I don't know, any of the rest of you have experienced in your careers as well?
Yes, actually, in my case, having a female mentor at the beginning of my career, even during my PhD, was very important. The relationship was more relaxed. I felt that I could make mistakes and just learn from them. So I wasn't judged if I got something wrong. And also later on, when the children came along, my female mentor helped me making the right choices. She encouraged me to carry on working despite the many difficulties. I think there is another issue that might prevent more women coming into economics. And I think it's the perception that economics is just about, you know, finance and maths. But indeed, there are so many topics that we can study with economics. We can talk about pollution, well-being, health, inequality, sports, crime, just to name a few. So that most of the choices in our life can be analyzed through economics lenses. And this make the topic very interesting for everybody and for women. But perhaps we need to disseminate this a bit more. We need to educate people, inform people about the wide spectrum of topics that economics looks at.
I completely agree with you, Michaela, because it was like make me think about even before I like choose to study the economics, I didn't know very well what's economics about. And I think that's a problem that's happening nowadays. Like many of the women, they don't fully understand what economics entails in this world. And I think they maybe like similar to me, they were just exposed to some business courses before an economics degree. So they don't see the full potential of economics and how it can be to apply to public policy or other social issues that are like really relevant. And I think they're not that exposed to undergrad or even like school teenagers.
That's really interesting. And Robin, I know you've kind of entered this world from a slightly different background. Is that kind of what Michaela and Patricia were talking about in terms of maybe not fully understanding how wide the scope of economics is and how much it covers? Is that something you've found as well?
Yes, definitely. So coming from a originally like physics and maths background, and like women in STEM has had a massive like push and it's been quite successful, but you come to economics and you don't see that on that scale. And I think that was something I found to adjust to. And I think there is, for example, I'm from Scotland, economics is not a field available to study for most, it's not a common subject at National 5 higher, advanced higher level. So a lot of people don't have that early contact. And as Patry was saying, it's it really matters at a young age of hearing about economics and what it entails. Economics would really benefit to have a more diverse pool of people because it's about the study of the economy. The economy contains a diverse pool of people. So by having more people, we can improve economics as a whole. So this is something that's really invaluable.
That's great. And does anyone kind of want to come in and add to that? Patricia?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to add that it's not only in the academic field where the women are dramatically unrepresented, but there is this index called the Women in Economic Index. It's like an annual report. It's developed by the Women in Economics Initiative. And this index tracks the share of women in economics leadership position, but not just only in academic, it's just like public sector and the private sector as well. So this index is like zero if there is no gender diversity and 100 if it's like represent like parity. And in the 23 version that they published last year, the share was really low. It was like around 34 for academia, so like 34 up to 100 and 36 for both public and private. So like the share of women in this leadership position is like really low across all the kind of careers. It's true that they say that the trend is a bit upward compared to previous year, but it's still 34, so it's a bit low. And it, I mean, it's really interesting, and they also like talk about like, the different areas of the world, so I encourage everyone to have a look on them.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And do you think these kind of challenges and barriers that we're talking about, is this something that's true across the kind of full spectrum of careers in economics?
Yeah, it sounds like that women tend to be underrepresented in several positions, not just in academia. I think there's a need to start earlier on to educate, to inform students about the potential of an economics career. As Robin was saying, there's no economics offered in Scotland. And I know that some schools in this area don't offer A-levels in economics, but I think students, teenage students, is when they make their choices about their future career. So I think that there should be more presence of economists in schools, going to give talks and also talk about the different career path, because we know that an academic career is quite demanding and maybe not everybody's willing to put the hours in. But women economists can work in banks, can work in government services, think tank. So there are many possibilities, but perhaps there isn't enough awareness of all these possibilities.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose even kind of within the more research field, actually understanding the scope of it there as well. And I mean, this table's a great example of that, because between you, you work on so many different things. So yeah, it's great to hear you speak a bit into that. So I mean, we've talked quite a bit there about kind of some of the challenges and barriers for women in economics around culture or lack of female role models, or kind of those perceptions that people might have from a young age that are kind of misperceptions of what a career in economics might look like. Kind of looking beyond that, what do you think the solutions are? What needs to change so that those barriers are broken through, are overcome?
I can kickstart on that. I think we need to continuously increase the women's visibility and public engagement. So, for example, it's very important that we have more female economists to actively participate in public discourse, not only through the traditional, but also through the online media. And then in this way, they can demonstrate their expertise and inspire young women and show them that a career in economics is attainable. Moreover, we can also provide media training for female economists so we can equip them with the necessary skills and also confidence to communicate their research and engage with the public.
That's great. So kind of, yeah, increasing that level of public engagement and almost, I don't know, almost self-promotion in a way of the work that you're doing. Does anyone have anything to add to that or any other ideas on these solutions? What needs to change?
Well, I think the initiatives of the Women Economic Networks are very good and very inspiring. So more events like those could certainly help, you know, go over those barriers. And the more we get into economics and into economics feeds into policy, and if we want to change things and to make the conditions better for women, we really need to be up there. We can't expect others, you know, to make up our decisions. Women constitute 0.5% of the labor force, so it's about time that the rights of women are well represented across the board.
Yeah, I think what you said, Freya, about like self-promoting is key, because I think we tend to diminish what we do. I do it myself, like I dismiss what my work I do. So I think we as women, we have to promote ourselves and then promote others what they do. I think that's really important on how we are as women.
Thanks, Patricia. Margarita?
Yeah, during the networking event, there were also some solutions that were more around changing the system rather than changing the women. And I thought in the case of academic economics, especially, Joe Swaffield argued that in some cases, we should be better rewarding some of the work that is typically done by women. So for example, within universities, a lot of the pastoral and care work tends to fall disproportionately on women. However, promotion and hiring much more focused on research output. And so better integrating other types of work, especially in universities who are, you know, worried about improving student experience and the sort of services that they deliver, could be a really good way of trying not just to reward this work, but also to achieve a better distribution of the work across faculty members.
That's really interesting. Robin, did you want to come in on that as well?
I think having, we've mentioned a lot about economics being greedy and like long hours. And I think for some people as a young, like in my early 20s, thinking about having a family and like the potential of balancing a PhD or family and do I have the time? I think this also plays into the broader picture of social economic representation of many people can't afford to do a PhD and take those 3 years at the early part of their career to do a PhD. So I think having an idea of making this a bit more, advertising more different avenues of getting a PhD or entering a career in economics, whether it's like having people from different disciplines, if undergrad, if they weren't, they just happened to be at a school that didn't offer economics and they ended, I think having that, and we can also learn a lot about subjects, as Michaela said, about dancing and like having culture, looking at culture and economics. You can work, have papers on sociology and economics, anthropology. There's so much options out there. It's not just New Keynesian models or Adam Smith.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. And I mean, interesting, kind of hinted at a bit there, but I remember one of the things that I think, Margarita, you mentioned in a conversation we had earlier was this kind of leaky pipe situation that we sometimes see in the profession, where you get more women maybe in kind of early mid-stage careers, but it kind of drops off further up. What do you think might be kind of some of the solutions for that as well?
I think having more transparency in the recruitment, and not just recruitment, actually promotional opportunities, because there's been a lot of research on that women are less likely to promote themselves. And I think this has been mentioned by a few of us already. And I think really like making sure that the right people, these opportunities are open for everyone really well make, and it's not done under the table. What's that?
Yeah,
I think there are also issues that maybe they are not just related to women in economics, related to working women in different positions, but it seems that it affects women in economics a bit more because of the long hours that we have to put into our work. And this coincides with the period when women start thinking about having a family. So having, you know, better childcare facilities and promote those opportunities can certainly attract more women to careers that are particularly demanding in terms of hours, and also looking towards the ends of the, you know, the more senior roles, having more information about how to deal with the menopausal transition, which is something that is still not discussed enough in the workplace. But some women experience very strong symptoms and they have to leave the labor market. And this is perhaps one of the reasons that we don't see many women covering senior positions.
Yeah, I just want to build on something that Michaela said. It's I think we need to support this work-life balance a bit more. So, for example, with the flexible working arrangements and the remote working options, I think those could be game changers for women in economics, and not only in economics, but any other field, because then allows them to balance the professional and personal life in a way that they still can progress in their careers.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really helpful.
Yeah, I was also thinking that another solution could be that we create this, like, more research on those topics. So we as academics or kind of academics pursue more of these kind of topics in our research, because sometimes I feel like we talk about these things around March and then we tend to forget about it. And I think we should continue during the whole year talking about these issues. It's not just a March topic. It's like it's something around
the
whole year.
Completely agree. Yeah. You know, yeah, these conversations need to be continued. And I think we are seeing that a bit more. And perhaps that's something you guys can share your thoughts on as well. And it sounds like this event last month was helpful for kind of hopefully boosting a bit more that conversation from a whole range of panelists and different people that you spoke to there. Yeah, and as we said, I mean, International Women's Day is just one day where we look to call people to action on accelerating equality, but actually it shouldn't be confined to that day. And I guess it's also a day where we're kind of reminded and prompted to be celebrating the achievements of women. And I guess I'd love to talk a bit more about that, and to kind of, I guess we've moved through challenges and barriers and then also thought a bit about possible solutions. And it would be great to think as well about some positive changes that we maybe have seen, stuff that can be celebrated for women in economics. So might be role model of yours or a kind of good news story or something you've seen that marks a movement in the right direction. So yeah, I don't know, Margarita, would you be happy to kick us off on that?
Yes, thanks, Freya. So for me, having a PhD supervisor who is a woman who is quite well established in her career already and so became very vocal and active in trying to create change was really inspiring. For example, she had a group of women, whenever they saw an event related to economics where there was no woman represented, they would email the organizers trying to get them to add women and even suggesting some names so that they could improve the event. So that was a really good example. More broadly, just seeing initiatives like the Women in Economics Network or other women's networks give me quite a lot of hope that we'll be able to create some change and, you know, improve the economics like discipline in the future.
That's great. And were there any particular panelists or discussions at that event that you were kind of particularly encouraged by or?
Yes, I like the ideas that Joe Swafield shared quite a bit. And there is someone else there as well from Advanced Higher Education who shared like very practical examples of supporting women after they come back from maternity leave. We referred to a trial that they did in the university where after a woman had returned from maternity leave, they would give them a small research spot so they could kickstart their research again. And actually that had like a very large return in terms of future or subsequent research funds. So seeing initiatives like this being trialed in universities, I think was quite good to hear.
That's brilliant. Thank you. And I mean, does anyone want to add to that in terms of those conversations that are being had and these networks that may be being more active on speaking about women in economics and challenges and solutions?
Yeah, sure. I think the good news is that the conversation about the gender equality, especially in economics, is gaining a bit momentum now. So there are more institutions and individuals that are recognizing the need for change, and they are actively working towards creating this more inclusive environment. I think this shift is very inspiring and it gives me hope for the future. So I would say to the girls and women considering economics, don't let the stereotypes or underrepresentation discourage you. I think your unique perspectives and insights are incredibly valuable for economics, and just embrace your passion and pursue the goals with confidence.
That's brilliant. Thank you. And I mean, does anyone else want to add to that in terms of, I guess, specifically advice that you might give to, well, you might have given to your younger self when you were first considering a career in economics, and also to any women and girls who are thinking about it now?
I could say to young women starting that maybe might feel a little bit discouraged, don't let anybody tell you that you can't do something. If you want to do it, you have to put the effort, but you get there. And an academic career in economics is challenging, but it's also very rewarding. So you see students growing and then getting good jobs, and that is very satisfying. I still have very many students on my LinkedIn page. They keep coming back to me saying thank you or telling me how their career is progressing. You meet a lot of interesting people in this job. You do a lot of interesting research, you travel. So there's so much to like in this profession. So if you think you would like to be involved, just go for it.
That's brilliant. Robin, did you want to add to that as well?
Yeah, so I was just saying from my own experience, like just go for it. When I applied for this job, I don't have an economics degree, but I just went for it and I got it. So I think that was sort of the, just echoing that. And I think just having strong females, like I'm lucky to come from a family of quite strong women, but also in NISA, like I've shared an office with Larissa, she's been really like crucial to my development at NISA. So I know, yeah, just like a shout out and to everyone else. But yeah.
That's brilliant. Is that, I mean, Patricia, is that something you found as well in terms of the role of your women colleagues and role models that you've had?
Yeah, definitely. When like Ryan was talking about, I was thinking when I was started back in Spain, because I started in Spain, I was thinking like I was really lucky because I have women colleagues and also men colleagues. We don't have to forget that there are men that support us, create this environment. And I think looking ahead, we, or in my case, I should continue to try to foster this kind of environment where women, not just women, all genders, feel empowered and feel value in what we do. Even though maybe like the external situations are not what we see, I think we should try to push for that, like environments where all individuals are supported, as I said. Because I believe that the profession and the economies and like also like the decision-making processes will benefit more women and more share of all genders. I think that's key for our future.
I absolutely agree. Thank you so much, everyone. I feel really challenged, but also really encouraged by everything that you've shared. And it's great to have had that chance to continue this conversation, which, as we said, isn't just restricted today. It's, you know, a conversation that we should be continually having about how do we address those barriers and challenges that we talked about to make, I mean, all professions, but we've been thinking particularly about these economic careers more inclusive, more equal. So yeah, thank you so much. Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Michaela. Thank you, Patricia. Thank you, Margarita. And thank you, Larissa, for joining me today to share your insights, and thank you for the work that each of you do. As always, if you want to find out more about our work, do visit our website at nisa.ac.uk, or to find out more about Women in Economics, you can also visit the UK Women in Economics Network website. Sadly, that's all we've got time for today. So until next time, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.